97.5, The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Let's get this rolling. It's going to be like an Irish wake today. Flyers dead. Sixers on the verge of something freaking amazing. Philly's getting back into action. Bob Cooney back in the house after a few days' absence.
Woo!
And Pat Egan with the worst haircut that has been,
I believe
the governor will address it today in the press conference at 1 o'clock. I think Rodney, by the way, Rodney from our offices is going to also be there at the press conference.
There's emergency press conferences being called everywhere.
Was the barber blind, Pat?
What happened,
Pat? I don't want to talk about it.
It looks like you went to a blind barber.
I said to the person, leave me a little something in the front to do something with, and somehow that turned into buzzing my entire head and then asking, do you like your haircut?
Pat said, he should have known when he got to pet the German Shepherd the entire time he was getting the haircut. He should have known.
I mean, just don't go get your haircut from a place on Groupon.
Is this not... Seriously, the Groupon cut?
It seemed like it was a really good deal, and I found out why.
Wow.
Because they just buzz everybody.
I told you, Anastasia would make you look very, very good. She'd take good care of you. We can get you hooked up with Anastasia. She's excellent. So let's get started on this Tuesday morning. And moment of silence for Pat's haircut. But as we go, the 76ers two-game road trip leads off their final regular season week, and a win tonight or a Nets loss or a loss by the Bucks, and the Sixers will clinch it all. Sixers can take advantage, win tonight at Indiana. You are the number one seed as the Milwaukee Bucks went down last night at San Antonio. An amazing
That's huge. Country. That's like Sixers huge.
It is Sixers huge. It is. It's an amazing feat considering that the Nets were the anointed conference champs preseason by ESPN. And The Jump. Strange that Eric Windhorst is on a show called The Jump. It's why you hired Doc Rivers. Brian Windhorst. It's why you hired Doc Rivers. Leadership, stability, vision, what it takes to put a team in a chance to win a championship, that is a combination of skills that Brett Brown just couldn't deliver. So for a first impression, Doc Rivers most certainly looks like a severe upgrade. Now, the final exams won't begin for a couple weeks because you got some early tests that should be nothing more than speed bumps along the way. He's got time to prepare his team for the hard test coming later. But for right now, this has a chance to be an incredibly special Sixers night. And it's been one of the best years in the regular season that any Sixers fan can remember. And that's where we begin with a little joy on this Tuesday morning with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille, Connor answering the phones, Mike directing the show on twitch.tv and YouTube. It's the John Kincaid Show. Guys, May 11th, the day where the Sixers have a chance to clinch the number one seed and make the final three games of the year irrelevant if they win tonight. Bob, it is a great seeing you back in here, by the way.
It's great
and
to
it
be
is
back.
Joyous this morning. We could have, tomorrow morning, you could be celebrating a real accomplishment. The number one seed, something that has not been a Sixers, let's just say, a tenant of this organization. This is pretty good stuff.
It is, and it's exactly what you wanted out of a Doc Rivers-led team. The talent being there, I'll go back to it. You know, we talked about last year them maybe having the best starting five in all the NBA, and then you make a move to get rid of Horford because that didn't fit, and you get two real shooters here. And then you wonder, is it there? Is Embiid going to make the next step? He did. And you got shooters. And you have Ben Simmons playing Ben Simmons basketball. And they're doing all this in spite of Ben Simmons making a huge leap forward, but just staying what he is, which I think is still pretty good. So to be able to clinch it tonight, It is, and we're going to get into this a lot in this show. It is funny to me how dissatisfied, I shouldn't say dissatisfied, but how underjoyous, let's say, this fan base may be at this accomplishment right now. And, okay.
I refuse to not celebrate teams, Jamie, that clinch number one seeds. To me, you can say the supermodel has a blemish on her cheek. She's still a supermodel.
Yeah, Cindy Crawford turned that blemish into a trademark, more or less.
And to finish the number one seed over the course of a regular season, by the way, in a year where nobody picked them for the number one seed. To me, yeah, it's every reason to put aside all the petty, you know, criticisms and say, this is a freaking great accomplishment.
Yeah, it really is. Like I said last week, it's only the second time in my life they've accomplished this. So
that's wild, by the way.
Yeah, so celebrate. Yeah, because it avoids you a second round matchup with, you know, one of these powerhouse darlings. But yeah, it's incredible. It really is. I didn't, even as optimistic as I am, I didn't think they were going to get the one seed. I thought they were going to slip up and finish in two or three.
I said three. I thought they'd be three before the year. I thought it would be Bucks,
yeah,
Nets, Sixers.
It speaks to how good they are because Joel Embiid missed, what, 19 games due to injury? Ben Simmons missed.
How much did he miss due to injury? And how much load management? I was trying to figure that out last night.
That's good.
That injury stretch was, what, 8 games? I think the injury stretch was 8.
I would say he probably missed about 12 due to illness/injury.
And, you know, Ben Simmons missed a week. You know, Tobias Harris missed some time. They handled every punch that came their way this year, and they're sitting on top at the end of the regular season.
Pat, to the psyche that Bob talks about a little bit there is that celebrating the number one seed, as Jamie says, he's seen it once in his life. Do you believe value regular season, like winning something like that, a lot less? Like, is it not as important today? The fans just look to the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think fans appreciate the ride enough. Like, in this situation, and Jamie said it yesterday, the window's not closed, so you really should appreciate the ride. The fact that me and Jamie were pretty close to the same age. We've only seen this once before in our lives.
That's crazy.
If it doesn't end in a title this season, it's not like the world is over. It's coming to an end. You should appreciate the fact that, as Jamie said, Joel Embiid was out a lot. They still were able to clinch number one seed. They weren't considered the favorites. So, but in the same token, you know, you need to get the job done in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And to me, Bob, the idea that now you've got the opportunity to tinker. You've got the opportunity to sit back and see how this is all going to play out with the other teams. Boston being dealt a devastating injury, we'll get into it later, that pretty much puts them in danger of not surviving the play-in tournament. Things are looking pretty up in Sixerville. It's a pretty happy morning.
And especially that the diagram that they set out has kind of been followed perfectly. What you wanted to do was deliver this team to the playoffs healthy and playing well. They're healthy. Nobody's really hurt. I mean, you have guys sitting out games.
Sure.
Thibault's sitting out tonight. Korkmaz is dealing with an ankle, whatever. But you've delivered them healthy to the playoffs for the most part, unless something catastrophic happens in these next few games. And you've won 8 in a row.
Right. Like,
you're playing good basketball right now. And
they're not even trying.
Yeah, is it great
they really
basketball?
Aren't trying.
Is it the kind of basketball you want to see come playoff time? No. But I also don't want to have those same questions on a team that's 4-4 over their last 8 or 5-5 over 10. I want a team to have that winning mentality. They do now. They don't know how to lose right now. And in years past, they found ways to lose in head-scratching fashion. Now they're finding ways to kind of keep games close, but they still win them.
I think Jamie came up with a strange topic last week. And when you came up with it, I'm looking at it and I'm going, I don't get it. And then I listened to this radio station, I think 3 of the last 4 days or so, and I heard what you were talking about. Jamie's like, I want people not, I don't want the guy that's just laying in the weeds. That says,
I told you so.
And I heard it.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Is now
they're out there.
Now I'm listening for it. That there are people who are actually freaking miserable.
Yes.
That the Sixers are the top seed and they're just waiting to say, well, this is this means nothing. I heard it twice yesterday on this radio station from callers, not from hosts, because
snakes among us.
Going, oh, you know, like, yeah, you could tell me all you want about the regular season.
Yeah.
It's all about the playoffs. Okay, the guy who's all about the playoff guy, it is all this team. There is no reason in a year where nobody picked you to be the number one seed that you should have walked into this season and said, Sixers championship or bust. And these people are waiting.
Yes.
They're waiting.
Totally.
And I looked at you. I looked at the topic last week. We don't talk about them. And when it got on the air, even I'm looking at it, I'm saying, I don't know where this is coming from. Like, Jamie's talking about this. And then I started listening for it. But I'm listening for it and I'm hearing it. And I'm saying, how miserable as a sports fan are you that you don't enjoy a year where your team's got the number one seed?
And Joel Embiid is what we all thought and hoped he would be. And he took a massive step this year. He's one of the top, in my opinion, two players in the NBA this season. You know, he answered the bell. What's not to be happy about that?
He's so, and it's my word, he's so joyous.
Yeah.
He's so joyous.
He's probably a top three favorite athlete of my lifetime.
And that's fast. That's a fast riser. Because
I've always loved him, and now he took it to a whole new level.
Pat, I'm looking at him going, Jamie's, what's he talking about? Like, where are all these people? And then I'm hearing them call the radio station and be like, yeah.
First of all, they went from the 6 seed to the 1 seed. So if you had high expectations going into the season, okay, maybe it's warranted. You probably didn't have number one seed.
What did you think? I said 3.
Top 3. I thought four.
Oh, I thought 3 was the ceiling.
Oh, like, really?
To me, I did. Yeah, we didn't really know each other at the time, but I thought 3 was the ceiling.
But what Jamie said about the fan base, not surprising at all. I had a guy, and I finally muted him, constantly every Sixers game tweeting me, doesn't matter, Nets will take over. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Nets will be number one seed. And I was like, are you a Nets? No, just being a realist. Okay, so you're being miserable.
I can't wrap my arms around. I don't like to do anything that I don't like. So anything that, like, if you said to me, John, try to fix this, there's something very simple plumbing thing that you could fix. Watch the YouTube video and you could fix it. I'm like, I don't like that. So I'd rather pay the guy the $70 to come and do it. And not do it because I don't like it and I'm afraid I'm going to screw it up. I don't understand people who don't like what they invest in. If you don't like golf, if golf makes you miserable, don't play golf. If the Sixers make you miserable being the number one seed, I'm going to tell you, you're a bit of an a-hole. That's all I'm just going to tell you. There's something wrong with you that you don't want to be celebratory of something like this happening.
I never understood the mentality, and to take it to where you were going, there's two things in life that maybe you're not good at, but you like doing, and one is golf. And the other one, you know, happens between the sheets. But I never understood that mentality because why? So at the end of the season, you can say, see, I told you?
Yes.
I'd rather take joy in success than being the outsider of I know different than you.
I just can't believe it, though, because when Jamie said it, Jamie put it out there as a topic, I'm looking and I'm going, really? I mean, I bet you there's some idiot on Twitter that said that to him. And then I'm like, I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
I heard it on Tyrone's show Saturday. I heard it on Cuz's show.
Well,
and then I heard it on Mike's show and I'm going, oh my God, this is a freaking epidemic.
Who
are these people?
The mentality of, I'm going to reject the hot girl before she rejects me. So I'm going to reject this team as the phone.
There's the hot girl calling you, man.
She is. And you know what? And I'm going to reject that phone call.
No, it's Martin Law. I referred them to about your haircut.
I don't plan.
I do think part of it might be the anti-process people that are seeing some results.
See, I'm anti-process,
and I love this year. But I think there's some people that were anti all of this, and now that we're getting some fruits bared,
could be
they're going,
hey, your mortgage partner can make or break your offer on your dream home. The Scott Valens Mortgage Team is going to get you an instant pre-approval. Use all their tricks that you won't get from retail banks. Get in touch with them now at scgloans.com. Sixers Pacers tonight. It's an 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
What's because of national TV?
But that's all right, because the Phillies are 7, Sixers 8.
No,
Bob.
Indiana, no.
Don't tell me it's okay.
It's okay. I like it.
Indiana doesn't...
Pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Now, Indianapolis does or does not change the clocks, because parts of Indiana do not change the clocks. So I was thinking maybe that's
it.
Because they like Notre Dame never changes their clocks. University of Notre Dame never change the clocks.
Because they smell their own farts.
Yes, they do. Hey,
they smell delicious.
Hey, I will tell you this about I'll tell you this about Notre Dame though. The kids, Olivia's school sends a lot of kids to Notre Dame. They will say when all the other kids come back from college, they go, "Oh my God, Mr. Kincaid, college is so much easier than Marist. Oh my gosh, we have so much time on our hands." The kids that come back from Notre Dame say, "Oh my gosh, it's hard." they're like, it's right back in school. Yeah. All right, in Cooney's Corner, Bob's going to take us back 20 years.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The talk, I was listening to you guys on Friday and yesterday.
Thank you, Phil. Were you streaming on the app?
I was streaming on the app.
Very good.
Yes, while I was sleeping at the same time. It was a joyous occasion, John, I must say. But it was funny. I was thinking back. You guys were
choked
talking
up about it.
I know. This is heartwarming.
Clumped.
You guys were talking about how the city is responding to them being a number one seed. And I was thinking back, to that 2000-2001 season when they went to the NBA Finals. And when it was just sheer craziness in this city. At the Daily News, where I worked at the time, the 76ers were on the front cover for 38 consecutive days.
Wow.
Because that's what the readers wanted. That's what the fans wanted. You had people, you guys remember, you had people putting the flags in
there.
Oh,
the car flags were everywhere.
Car flags everywhere and the honking. And you had newspapers in people's windows of everything. And it was awesome and it was fun. And this year...
Until the refs cheated us and gave Shaq a title.
Yeah. And this year, you have a team that is probably a lot better. I think
this team's a lot better.
No, it's not even comparable.
I would take this team over that team.
Oh, my God,
this team would sweep that
team. This is a team.
And this is a team right now, this Sixers team, they've won 69% of their games.
I know that makes you smile.
Nice. That team back in 01... won 68% of their games. This team's better. But the city now is critiquing this team, this number one seed, this Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris-led team, more than getting the adulation that the 0-1 team got, gets the criticism that NBA analysts give it. And I like it. I don't mind it. Because 0-1... similar to the 93 Phillies, John, that we talked about last week. Lightning in a bottle.
Right.
Oh, my God, look at this. That's fun. That's fun when you know it's a one-year wonder and you say, oh, I never saw this coming. Well, I don't mind that people saw that this was coming. I don't mind that it's kind of, all right, golf clap instead of roaring cheers, because it means you belong. It means that the fans know this is a long ride and it's not a short one. And that's okay with me to critique even the great, because that's what I do. You can win a game 100-80, and I'm going to critique, well, why didn't you score 110? That's just my nature. I love that this city is critiquing a very, very good basketball
team.
See,
I find the, it's contrived negativity to me, Jamie.
Yeah.
It's contrived.
I don't know what there's to be negative about outside
of this team is ascending.
Yeah.
It's not a team that's knocked on the door for years and let you down.
Ben has his whole, thing that I'm just kind of tired of. It is what it is. I don't think he's going to change. I think people just kind of need to accept it. And I know, look, accepting that is not something people want to hear, but we can't force him to change. He's clearly not going to change, and he's a very good player, so we might just have to take it for what it is. Outside of that, What's the problem?
Seriously.
I think that's what it is, though. I think it's the fact that it's a mix of anti-process people, the fact of there's a sect of the fan base that doesn't want to give Ben any credit whatsoever. And then, on top of it, in 2001, the Sixers were the number one seed, but there wasn't a team behind them in the standings that was being hyped up as the, quote, true number one seed. Well, this year, there is. I mean, there's the Nets.
Hey, DryTech Waterproofing will protect your home with DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Fanatic listeners receive 15% off when you mention Missinelli. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at DryTech. DryTechCorp.com. Jay in Philadelphia, welcome to the Fanatic. Good morning, Jay. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Doing all right, Jay.
Like, nobody has called, you know, I called a lot over the last 3 years, you know, being all excited about the Eagles, about the Sixers.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to say I'm miserable, but I've been taking more of a wait and see type of approach. You know, I just want to see how Ben Simmons is going to do in the playoffs this year. You know, I want to see if they get up 3-1, if they going to blow it, since that seems to be Doc Rivers' M.O. You know what I'm saying?
So, Jay, they were expected to be a 3 seed at best this year.
I don't care
year.
About that.
Wait, let me talk to you. Let's have a conversation. They were expected to be a 3 seed at best. Nobody thought they'd be a 2 or a 1. So they have excelled over expectations, and they are not a team that has let you down, failed in the playoffs, choked in the playoffs. So I don't understand where this negativity is coming from.
It's not negativity.
Like, it is so negativity, Jay.
Why you want me to be all giddy? I'm not high and I'm not low. I'm more in the even.
Jay, just celebrate. Guess what? I want to see.
Just because they're the one.
Jay, I want to celebrate.
Then y'all going to try to talk fans off the ledge.
Jay, I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate the achievement.
Okay, don't worry about it. Enjoy the win, man.
And then say, I want to see what they do in the playoffs, too. And I'm going to have realistic playoff expectations. Ike in Southwest Philly joins us on the Fanatic. Ike, how are you?
Yo, I'm on your side with this, John. You know the issue with fans in this town? They only enjoy the ride.
Oh, my gosh.
They want to go from the credits to the credits at the beginning of the beginning scene to the credits at the end of the movie without enjoying the movie sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
I don't ride with that, you know? And then, you know what I think? I think you're right about the contrived negativity, because it's always these narratives that's out there that are, they got half truths. Like, for example, everybody criticized and killed Ben Simmons. You hear how one of your callers, I think the first call might say, I want to see if Ben Simmons is not going to play good in the playoffs. But you know what's funny? That Toronto series, nobody talks about. It wasn't Ben Simmons
wasn't the reason you lost.
Here go the thing. Not only Brett Brown, nobody talks about Embiid has not played that great in the playoffs either. And nobody ever says that.
Thank you, Ike. Did Ben have a better series against Toronto than Joel? As far as consistency.
I'd have to go back and look at the box score.
That's what's in my head. I don't know that to
me. Yeah.
That's my memory, is that Joel was more the roller coaster.
Yeah. Joel was great last year in the Mickey Mouse bubble.
Correct.
But, you know, Ben's had good playoff series. That Miami series 2 years ago, he was great.
In that series after that.
Oh, man. Yeah, like.
Like, just stop with the...
Everybody take a deep breath.
Enjoy the ride, man. Enjoy it a little bit. All right, we got a lot coming up, including a way too early 2022 mock draft that Jamie Lynch may or may not mock. Plus, the boys were out yesterday with some Philadelphia area celebrities, and I was standing in a mound of dirt. It's the Jockey Cage Show here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic, the 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Martin Law is going to update their website today with a link for people who got damaged, like Pat at the barber's.
Nice haircut.
At least I have hair, good. You chubby seal.
You still
can't. Wow. I think it looks good, Pat.
That was rather hostile.
Sorry, I didn't mean that. It's
he
just,
won't
it's
show
own,
us the haircut. How would you say it looks good?
I got him alone. And
what?
Yeah,
I ripped my hat off.
I was privy.
Did he really?
Yeah, he ripped your hat off.
And then he bumped me into the side table.
Oh, stop it. That did not happen.
Did he bang you into elevator doors?
Yeah.
No.
He bullied me.
I did not do that. Pat,
it's all right. I'm just going to fly down to Naples, Florida and file a complaint with our HR department.
Pat, can I go with you?
There's some good golf down there.
No. See me and you chumming around, and then you can throw a complaint against.
By the way, this guy bullied me.
Who did it? He did.
Yes. By the way, I'm shocked that the mainstream news media isn't doing running with the explosive Bill Gates story. It's like they're trying to keep it off the front page. So Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein, we find out that's the reason that his wife is getting rid of him.
Do you know in this prenup he had an arrangement where he could be with his ex-girlfriend one weekend a year?
How about that?
That's wild. Okay, rich people live a different life.
Totally different life.
Do you not remember Andrei Kirilenko's agreement with his wife?
No.
Such a great Andrei Kirilenko.
Yeah. Was it
AK-47.
A certain number a year?
It was. I think it was one.
It was one a year.
One girl, his choosing, a year.
A year.
And yeah, I think they're still together, so it worked
out.
Good
for them.
I've been trying to convince my significant other of that, but...
You'd have a harder time.
If we could just have the one.
That's exactly what she said, Bob.
Yeah. All right, well, the 76ers and Flyers season was like a scene from Eddie Murphy's Trading Places. In 2020, the pandemic raged. The young Flyers overachieved and thrived in the bubble. The coming-of-age championship contender 76ers floundered in Disney World and whimpered to the finish line. Not yet with that one. Not yet with this one. That's for next hour. We move into the 2021 season, and the 76ers managed to turn their story around. The Flyers, on the other hand, crash and burn. How did this happen? Well, I've got a theory. The 76ers' best player took his performance to another level. The Flyers' best player did not. Joel Embiid and Carter Hart were both supposed to be MVP-type players in 2021. One of them exceeded expectations. The other regressed to being one of the worst players in the entire league at his position in Carter Wentz, Hart. What else happened to mess with the universe of our winter Philly sports teams? It's like they took a totally different direction. It's where we begin the 8 o'clock hour, because I'm trying to figure this one out. Because at the end of last season, the Sixers were the dumpster fire. The Flyers were the feel-good, shucks, this is just going to be great story. And in a matter of 8 months, everything's changed. Pat, do you have a theory? And does it affect how you look towards next season because of what you just saw the Sixers do? Turn around a dumpster fire season?
No, because the Sixers, my big problem with the Sixers was the coach. And it was, okay, well, the organization let go of the coach. Because I had been told that the ownership wasn't too keen on firing a guy and paying him just to go away. But when they fired the coach, it was like, okay, you know, we can take our pants off and party. Then they got Daryl Morey in, and it was, okay, no, they're actually turning this thing around. Then we saw what they did on draft night. So the Sixers turnaround wasn't surprising because you knew they had talent. The Flyers, I don't know what's going on with that team. They're a mess.
Bob, the bottom fell out.
That was going to be my question to you guys. Which one was more surprising?
Carter Hart was a top eight MVP.
Yeah,
odds.
I can't believe where that Sixers season, the Flyers season went. I don't know. We came in with such high expectations that were downed so badly that I didn't watch them. And I'm not kidding. In the last 3 weeks of the season, I don't think I watched a game. That's how.
I'm not going to blame you.
Yeah,
because they were out of it for 2.5 of those weeks.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
blame you.
All right, so now we're waiting on AV, right? He's going to tell us now what the problem was.
I think he is.
Because he knows.
Okay. And Fletcher.
He knows, but he wasn't going to tell us before.
And Fletcher better tell us some of the problems, too. Mr. Fletcher, we need some answers.
You're getting no answers.
Wait a minute, Will.
You're going to get no answers.
Season's over now.
Yeah, you're going to get no answers.
No, he told us he's going to tell us when the season was over, Pat.
He said he wouldn't talk about it, that they talk about it after the season.
Yeah, well, you guys told me you liked me, but then I found out later it didn't. Like, sometimes, you know, you get told one thing, and then you find out something else.
It can't
happen.
You
were told that you might get answers. You're not going to get answers. What are they going to tell you?
I think we are going to get answers.
I don't know what the answer is. I was trying to think of this, you know.
I think it's chemistry. I think it's chemistry.
Well, then you're going to have to do some major changing. And well, I don't know.
Are you signed up for that? Sign me up. Sign me up. That roster sucks. It has bad chemistry.
I mean,
sucks.
I almost want them to process it. Like, I can't. I know you can't. I don't know what the answer. What should I be excited about for next year? Cam York?
Joel Farabee?
Farabee?
Last year.
Here's the thing.
Ivan Provorov and Carter Hart at least gave you hopes of these guys are elite. Now I'm going, I think Provorov will get back to being, you know, a top young defenseman, but... I hope. I hope Carter Hart gets back. I think. I hope.
Joel Embiid was a top six MVP choice for this year in the NBA. Going in. Top six player odds for MVP. Carter Hart was top eight in the NHL.
Yeah, one answered and one didn't.
And then, and there's bottom line. When you're an MVP, top eight in your entire in the entire sport, MVP odds, you're expected to be. Carter Hart was expected to be the greatest thing coming. And this year, he was the worst. He was the worst.
Horrible.
He was the worst at his position.
Yeah, the defense was horrible. The offense wasn't good at times. I mean, Kevin Hayes and some of your big money guys. Like, I just can't look at Jake Voracek anymore. I just can't do it.
And I don't blame you.
Yeah. Like, it's got to, something's got to change.
The chemistry sucks because you know what? The problem with that team, bottom line, and Alain Vigneault, you got to answer it. That team rolled over and died at least 8 to 10 times this year.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable when your team does that more than once in a season. There's a night in a professional sports season where your team gives up, gets frustrated, gets distracted. It happened over and over again with the Flyers.
Yeah, the scary thing is AV implementing a system that the players just aren't up to playing that way, or are the players just so bad there's no way to play a system that fits them? So, and John, when Jamie says, I'm ready for a process, and you say, count me in, I don't know how many of the players they can move or whatever.
I'm for the retooling of the roster. I never will advocate for a process. Never.
But they need, like, a drastic change.
Well, when you say you need a drastic change, and we know you can't change multiple players, doesn't that go to the head coach?
I guess.
I'm not saying they should do that. What I'm saying is, in most instances,
the coach is more likely to go than the core players.
I will tell you point blank that I was told Alain Vigneault, if you've got Alain Vigneault as your head coach and he cannot practice, it is absolutely, it was said, useless to have Alain Vigneault as your head coach. Because Alain Vigneault is not known as a strategist in-game. The in-game strategy, he's going to play the chess game better than anybody.
Well, that's interesting.
But he's known, Bob, as one of the best
preparers,
teachers, game plan teachers of the game. And he didn't have a chance to teach a young team. So I'm going to write off this year as Alain Vigneault didn't have practice, because he didn't. He didn't have a normal training camp. He didn't have that. He is known as he is one of the best practice coaches in the entire NHL. So next year, I expect a rebound. I want no parts of Alain Vigneault exiting this town, and I can't believe people are advocating for it.
Yeah, and when did they play their best last year? When they got back from the time off, right? And I think they had about a week's practice before they went to the bubble.
They had a little mini training camp.
So there you go.
That's
teaching.
Correct.
You go in there, you played those three round robin games or two rounds, and they were playing really good hockey. And that just kind of carried over, it seemed,
was Brett Brown, because I know that was one of the things that Lloyd Pierce, when he got the Hawks job, was that Lloyd Pierce, I've saw Lloyd Pierce in my own eyes, like, putting more into a practice than I've ever seen an NBA head coach do.
Yeah, Larry Brown, the old Sixers coach, used to say how much he still says it, how much he just loves to get into the gym and teach.
But Brett was a practice guy too, though, wasn't he? Or not?
He was a workout guy.
Workout guy.
You know, I'm not going to say that I sat in on every part. From the limited part we were allowed to see, I know that they worked, whether X's and O's, was a strong suit of Brett Brown's. I'm not going to say that. I saw glimpses here and there of good and a lot of bad, but it's amazing. The coaches that are really good practice coaches are the ones that seem to say the least during a game.
And he is the guy who,
you know, it's, yeah.
He is known in coaching circles as a great practice coach.
Yeah.
Not a good one, great one.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Yeah, look.
I'm not writing off Alain Vigneault. I'm certainly not writing off Carter Hart.
No.
You can't because you need him.
Carter Hart probably next year comes back and plays above average goaltending for the Flyers.
Yeah, go out to Burning Man, do some mushroom tea, find yourself again, balance your chi and all that crap. Figure it out. I'll give him this year as a learning curve. Wheels fell off.
Just get it back.
But I don't want to hear anyone giving me the, well, he's got, he's so mentally tough. No. He was, in fact, exactly the opposite of mentally tough this year.
And get him some defense.
Completely opposite of mentally tough. Because you saw, Elliott would step in, and he was competent on almost every night. He played competent goal. Come on, Pat. He gave you a chance. You didn't have a chance with Carter Hart.
I mean,
Elliott gave you a chance.
They were one of the worst teams in the league.
They were. Well, no,
they didn't have a chance for many games.
They're at least 9 or 10 teams worse than them, aren't they? Almost?
I said they were one of the worst teams in the league. I mean,
see, I consider more they were almost like almost towards
bad.
The middle.
I mean, they struggled to beat Buffalo. I mean, granted, they played the Devils 15 times in the last month, but yeah, my big problem with Lane Vigneault, he just looked like he had no answers
in games.
And in a veteran coach, I get it. You got to have an answer. You're a veteran coach. You have two veteran coaches on your bench. And you're basically just throwing your arms up like, I don't know how to stop the bleeding.
There's 12 teams with worse points totals than them.
So there are 12 teams worse than the Flyers. Flyers are middle of the pack. They just were in a bad division to be in.
Sure.
Because that was a bad division to be stuck in.
I hate to say this, John. Pat's kind of right. I thought I was on your side with Elliott.
Right?
He started out well and then it got
306
bad.
Goals against and only an 889.89.
That's not good though.
Not,
89's
right?
Not good.
Yeah,
but
he had that at
91.
A little bit of a stretch.
Yes,
but I mean you can't.
He was expected. He was
a lot better than the other guy.
In what was it? 58. What was it?
What do you
regular
mean?
What was the regular season? 58.
Yeah, I think it was 58. 58 games.
He was expected that he was going to probably play 14.
56.
Well, 56. 14 games, Pat?
I would say less than that.
Even less.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you asked him to do something. 30. It is amazing. Hey, whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in your local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. You know whose motor never quits? Bob Cooney's. And he wants to, well, bring somebody back.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
All right, so we just talked about it. The goaltending situation with the Flyers.
Sure.
We talked about the center fielder position with the Phillies, the third base, the first base, all these positions that we talk about that you want shoring up. All right, if you have a player that played in this city, let's say from the past 3 to 5 years, that you could bring back, that might put you over the top, that might be the guy.
Put you over the top.
That might be the guy. I know who Jamie's going to say, and I don't really agree with it, but I know who
you
Jamie...
You do? Because I don't even know yet.
I think I know who Jamie's going to say also. And I believe...
Yes.
Yes.
John does
yeah,
have
Yeah, I
it.
Do know the guy that
wow,
Jamie's going
Wow, you don't even
say.
Know yourself. Who
you think
are
I'm,
you?
I'm not going to say Covington.
We know you better you than better you know. Jamie Lynch,
oh
we
God.
Know you better,
better
than
not.
You know
All right, wait,
yourself.
Tell me the team.
You're on it.
You're on it.
The Sixers.
Yes.
It's not going to be J.J. Redick.
No, it's not.
Right. It's not J.J.
And it's not going to be Ilyasova or Bellinelli.
No, it's not.
It's not Covington.
No, it's not.
I mean,
oh my God, it's not that difficult, Jamie.
Come on, Jamie, it's not
Come
that
on,
difficult.
Dude, what is your problem?
The hell are you guys
A player
me?
That could put them over
what
the
you
top
want,
that's not back with the Sixers.
I wish.
Jimmy Butler.
Oh, God, no. I'm not what? Saying Jimmy Butler.
Oh, I thought that would be your
I
bring back
that would
guy.
Be your answer.
Well, it's my guy, so
give me
I'll
Jeremy
take
Grant as a bench player.
Wait a minute here.
Wow.
Put him over the top?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
You become
you
such
believe
a hater.
Right now. You believe right now.
Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons don't work together.
No, 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 no.
They don't work.
You believe... If they added Jimmy Butler to this team, or if they bring Grant back.
I take Jeremy Grant.
To put them over the top to win an NBA title?
Yeah.
Okay,
That's not bad.
Guess what? What I'm going to tell you is it's a sneaky answer.
Ooh.
Because I do think I would think better about the whole roster if that was...
If you had George Hill, Jeremy Grant, Matisse Thybulle, and Dwight Howard as your bench, holy hell, welcome to Titletown.
I wasn't a big Jimmy Butler fan here.
See,
him and Ben
weren't.
Just don't, they don't jive. You had to pick one or the other.
Grow up is what I would say. Grow up, boys. Grow
they
up.
Both need the ball in their hands. It's just not going to, it just doesn't work. It's fine. It is what it is.
That's interesting. Jeremy
That
Grant.
Is an interesting one.
He hates me, by the way.
Does he?
Yeah.
What did
Why,
you, do,
you do,
Bob?
So when he got dealt.
Did you insult
you
Horace?
Do?
No, when he got dealt, I put out on Twitter, and this is the way I meant it, said, there was no room for him here because they had three guys in front of him already. And I said, good deal by the Sixers to be able to get something for Grant. you know, good luck to him elsewhere, whatever. And he took it that I said that they could even get something for him. Was, so he came back at me and has since...
He tweeted back at you?
And when he's had good seasons and stuff, I often get, you know, tagged in it. Like, hey, check out what I'm doing this time.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You're a pill in the motivation tank for him.
Yeah, I think... Well, he's a guy that they bring into it. Yeah, but I didn't mean it that way.
No.
I really meant it. Like, he had no opportunity here with the way they were doing things. They had big men galore, and they weren't using him at all. I believe they got Ilyasova for him.
Yes, they did.
And that was a good sign.
And they weren't ready to win. It was the outside shooter.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
So whatever. But Jeremy Grant has had a hell of a...
You know anybody that was
really
used as rocket fuel?
No. I mean, I've gotten blocked by a lot of players. I'm pretty rational.
No, but I mean, no player ever said like Jamie Lynch.
I'm
ever gave
irrational.
Me the one. Pat, you ever have anybody? No.
Yeah, so I tweeted out
guy in your league. I'm sorry, the one guy in his league.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's
like
got
me.
A dartboard with your face on it.
Yeah, I don't know. He probably sucks. One time I tweeted out Brandon Graham had a strip sack, not in the Super Bowl. This was well before that.
Oh no!
And it was a joke, and I didn't even tag him in it because I don't think there's any positivity in that.
Player snitching's the
but
worst.
But I said Brandon Graham strip sack, great, but Earl Thomas would have taken it to the house. Brandon Graham searches his name on Twitter, saw it, liked it, and then blocked me.
Wow.
And then a couple months later, everybody discovered that everyone was blocked.
That's great. The like, so you see it, and then the block, that's quality work by BG.
I do have a couple names, though.
Have
for
you
your
apologized?
Question, though, Bob.
Yeah, go on.
Malcolm Jenkins for the Eagles. I'm going to take him back.
No? Somebody asked me this weekend if he's a Hall of Famer, but go ahead.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Phillies one's going to surprise you guys because he sucked.
Phil Camposano.
No, it's not Sal Fasano.
That's Andrew's guy.
Nick Pivetta. Have you guys seen what Nick Pivetta has done this season? Like, he's actually lived up to the hype
That's
a little bit. If there was hype.
Yeah, he has.
I would take him as a fourth or fifth starter, I'd take him.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, right now what he's doing, the Phillies couldn't make it happen, though. They couldn't make it happen, unfortunately. That wasn't good.
No, I'm good on Nick Pivetta.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, he just couldn't get it done.
He's
getting it done this
So week. I won, Jeremy Grant?
Guess what? I thought
That's
it was
pretty
a sneaky
good.
Answer.
Yeah.
It's a sneaky
I'm
answer.
I'm shocked you guys thought I was going to go Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so did I, yeah.
Because absolutely. You're talking about the ball.
I thought you loved
when
Jimmy
When I hear
Butler.
About the ball, they both
I enjoyed
the
his time here.
I don't understand that argument. Jimmy Butler is a... Yes. The ball in their hand. Jimmy Butler wants the ball in his hand to shoot and create offense. Ben Simmons is petrified of offense.
He creates a lot of offense.
But he can create for Jimmy Butler.
It just didn't work. Ben Simmons was lost in the offense when Jimmy Butler was playing point guard.
They literally could not play together.
But how much of it was Brett Brown?
Not as much as you
think. I give Doc a chance with it.
Yeah, that's my point.
But Jimmy Butler, Doc would see Jimmy Butler's at his best when he has the ball in his hands. Boom, boom. And Ben Simmons is at his worst when the ball's not in his hands.
Okay.
It's a balance you really can't have.
By the way, it's I think it's cute when people talk about hockey. In the Carter Hart situation, playing 27 games this year, he had an .877 save percentage.
Oof.
That is one of the worst.
Buzz, your girlfriend.
That's
Woof.
One of the worst in the modern. And it's like, well, he played on a crappy team. That's a bunch of garbage because there are many, many exceptional goaltenders that played on crappy teams and they managed to get their save percentage 90%. Pat, is 90 the passing grade, right?
90? I would want more.
No,
but
90 is a... No, 90
Yeah, 90 you can live with and survive with and
correct.
Win with.
A
but
90
you want
is a
more,
passing
but
grade.
But yeah, I mean, like 920 is really good.
Yes, and guess what? On this team, Carter Hart could never have had 92.
Yeah, I mean, look, the defense wasn't good, but Matt Niskanen wasn't as good as fans think he was because the defense was so bad this season.
It's cute when people talk about hockey. I think it's really cute.
We can talk about it whenever you want.
Yeah, you and I can give a little thing. 90 is considered passing. Anything below 90 is considered failure. 87.7 is terrible.
So what's the off-season talking points for the Stepford Wives?
What
are we hanging our hats on
people
here?
People are being too tough on Carter Hart.
Cam York? Yeah, is that what we're hanging our hats
on?
That's
what the, no. They're going to make deals. Fletcher's
They better
going
make
to
a lot of deals.
He better. All right, we will get Joe. Hang on with us. Joe, we got somebody that wants to chime in on our earlier conversation. We'll get to that. Plus, there are four teams sitting on the precipice, and they are very important to us. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.